Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Nick, a big happy birthday to my little friend. Life wouldn't be the same without you. You're a great friend, and dinner at the Dragon Palace is on me next time.
Nick, you made it to 40 with your sanity intact. Well, mostly. Congratulations. Here's to 40 great years and many more cabins to come. Happy birthday, man. Love you.
Hey there, Nick Wilson. It's your pal, Bob Dylan here. Happy birthday, Nick. Hey, Nick, it's your buddy Hacksaw here. Happy birthday, pal. I can't wait to see you next year at the cabin. It's going to be awesome, buddy. But until then, enjoy your birthday from your pal, Hacksaw.
All right, who let Hacksaw in? All right, that one, you never know where a Hacksaw impression is going to go, especially when it's going to go slightly problematic. I'm glad he stuck with Bob Dylan meets Randy Newman. I am glad he went there, because this year at the cabin, we went many, many, many different places with Hacksaw. So I'm quite happy we did Randy Newman into Bob Dylan or vice versa.
I do have the Randy Newman, but I did not feel like that was good for air, so I saved that for you for later.
All right, that is very good. Thank you again. Those are my cabin boys, if you didn't know.
We're trying to do this and stay employed. We're trying to do a 40th birthday party for you while also maintaining employment.
Well, and that's where you get into the rough spot with Hacksaw. Because he's no longer in radio, so in fairness, when he was in radio, he kind of didn't really get the whole FCC thing, but he definitely doesn't get it now that he doesn't work in radio. We've got Curtis Danberg coming up in about 20 minutes or so. It would be really funny if I just told you guys, yeah, I've been lying about 9/23 being my birthday this whole time, and I just did it because 9/23, you know, 92.3 The Fan. I can't run from that. I'm in fact a September 23rd baby.
You really thought that through, didn't you?
My handle was initially Nick Wilson 923, and when I went to Charlotte, mind you, I made that because of my birthday. Because it was like the thing you did with AIM too,
right?
When you were like your birthday or the year you were born, where it was in part of your or the year you graduated was part of your Twitter. Fat Nick Rocks 85, by the way, just letting you all know. But when they went down there, like, yeah, that's your old station. You have to change that. And the thing that I could have just responded, it's my birthday, but instead I changed my handle and then lost my verified status and never got it back.
It's the same thing that happened to me when I started here in 2011. They're like, policy, you need to have fan at the end of your handle.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed it. Within 30 seconds, someone grabbed my original right or wrong, and I'll never get it back again.
Yep.
I just so bummed because like I have that all. That's my social media.
Yeah.
I came up with that one drunken night in the 90s.
The 90s?
Yeah, back in the 1990s when email first became a thing. I wanted to have a cool email address.
I was very young in the 90s, yeah, so I don't remember.
Yes, yeah. I remember.
What was it like to be an adult in the 90s? You can't tell me that?
It was a transition from me being a kid to an adult. I still acted like a kid in the 90s. And
you still act like a kid now.
I'm so lucky I'm sitting in this chair right now. That's how childish I acted when I was in the 90s. But it was a lot of fun.
Well, congrats on your transition. Curtis Danberg coming up in about 20 minutes there. And listen, we're a little light on the Browns today because it is the Guardians Day. Guardians versus Tigers. Scooble on the bump for Detroit. But we do still have that golden win to talk about. And I know we talked a little bit about it yesterday when you appeared on the show as a guest. I still haven't like made sense of that win because
I've watched the end of that. So typically my ritual after games is Monday morning, I will watch the TV copy and then I will watch the all 22 copy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have watched the TV copy of the last 4 minutes of that game about 20 times.
So
I can't get enough of it.
It is just pure dopamine, but I've realized something about that game that needs to be said. It doesn't have to be any more than what it was. I've heard enough people try to prescribe meaning to it, it might end up being the thing where we look back and go, the way you won in that Green Bay game lit the fuse and the team went off and had a really nice stretch of football there. It might be. Yeah. Doesn't have to be. It isn't guaranteed to be. And where we're in now is, because we're still in the love bubble of the win, we can just enjoy the fact that they've won a game, and then we can kind of just wait to see how they react against Detroit, I think is another winnable game on some level, but this one presents a problem that last one didn't, because that's one of the three best offensive lines in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that is going to be pure entertainment to watch. The Browns' defensive front, which I would argue is the best in the NFL, going against those maulers that the Lions have in the trenches. I was watching that game last night, and I don't remember the Baltimore Ravens getting bullied by an offensive line the way the Lions did to them.
Can we just say that was a lot of fun to watch?
A lot of fun to watch, and it was also a clinic.
I watched it like an absolute spicy little something. Like I was just enjoying it, just like. Not so fun.
It was football.
Is it Baltimore?
It was football adult entertainment at its finest.
Yeah, who celebrated the 30-year anniversary of being the Baltimore Ravens? Now, I know it's hollow. It doesn't really matter. Now, you and I sit on opposite sides of the Dylan Gabriel thing and the Joe Flacco thing, but there was a caller to Baskin and Phelps today that has decided they're ready for Dylan Gabriel.
Game one, I was on his side. The second game, you missed receivers. The third game, you really missed receivers. That flea flicker play was a touchdown waiting to happen. My kid could have threw that. He still checked it down. He was wide open in the middle of the field. How can you not see that? But I just wanted to say before I go, if we all see the same thing, because I know y'all see what I see. What I see is a veteran quarterback that's trying to keep the locker room together, but he can't see on the field. There are plays that he's leaving on the field every down. After a while, the veterans are going to start turning on that, and they're going to start turning on the coach. Play the young guys and let the defense protect them. Bring them along, give them a script of plays to run, and you get them some confidence. Stop with this, they're not ready. Well, what do you like about them if they're not ready? I'm lost. If you like them so much, he's grabbed the office so much, what don't you like about him to say he's not ready? Which one is it? He played 6 years in college. If you're not ready now, when the hell will you be ready?
So I actually like some of the passion there and some of the methodology and some of the thinking. What I will say is, when we're starting to talk about where the Browns are, I'm not endorsing Dylan Gabriel's going to be this game changer and you're going to win a bunch of games with him for sure. Same thing if it was Shador, by the way. Right. I'm simply saying that Joe isn't, like, with the whole argument is Joe gives you the best chance to win. Joe has been a significant reason the last 2 weeks you haven't won, and a significant reason why 2 weeks ago went from a very close game to two of his turnovers being two of the three turnovers that led to 21 points going Baltimore's way, and basically a 21-point swing, which would have made that game a lot more comfortable.
I don't think Dylan Gabriel gives you a better chance to win. I really don't.
How do you know?
Because I watched him in training camp. I don't think he gives... And here's the other thing. How do you sell that to that locker room? Because the locker room loves Joe Flacco.
Yeah, they love him, but they've also watched Joe really flounder the last couple weeks.
But how do you...
They watch the tape, Daryl. You can love Daryl. You can love Joe as much as you want. You see the missed throw to Judy. You see the missed pass to Isaiah Bond. You see a quarterback...
Well, you saw Isaiah Bond, too, which I caught my attention. You saw the reaction, right?
He was not happy.
He was very
upset.
He was very displeased with Joe. And Joe's like looking at him like,
I can squash you with one toe.
Right.
Okay, but I think my thing here with this is, like, I think there's this preconceived notion of, well, we're not in evaluation mode. No. You'd be going to Dylan Gabriel because Joe Flacco, and it's evident if you watch him, is not playing like Joe Flacco.
Well, the problem
he's not
now.
Comfortable in what he's being asked to do. He's overthinking everything, and it's apparent as you watch the game. You don't even have to be a football savant to know that.
Well, because Kevin's drilling into his head, don't turn it over.
Yes.
Don't take unnecessary chances.
Yes. And it's not working.
Where you ultimately, well, because it's messing, because Joe's not being Joe.
Mm-hmm. That's no, 100%.
But
either have to let Joe be Joe, coaching, or you need to move him out of the way.
Right. The coaching and the emphasis, and it's right to emphasize that. I'm not arguing, but I think it's also messing with Joe because you're not getting the gunslinger. You're not getting the shots down the field.
Well,
right?
But I think it's even worse because it's apparent some of the plays he passed up were because he also doesn't trust the offensive line.
Well,
so he doesn't trust himself now, and he doesn't trust the offensive line, and he's being asked to play in an offense that, if we go to the letter of the law, what Dillon Gabriel's supposed to be. Bit of a check down, Charlie, protects the football, and quick throws. That's Dillon's skill set. That's not entirely Joe's skill set.
I don't disagree with you there. The offensive line is an issue. The fact now you're basically down two tackles until they say that Jack Conklin can play with that elbow injury.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were told day to day for two straight weeks. Okay. He didn't, and those 2 weeks. Inactive.
And they meant it.
And we're going to hear again this week. We'll see if he's out there tomorrow. He probably will be, but we're going to hear day to day through Friday until they give the actual game status. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Jack Conklin's going to be questionable for Sunday's game in Detroit. And it'll be a game-time decision as to whether or not they're comfortable with whatever's going on with that elbow to hold up to where he can play. But they got a tackle problem. And
yeah, but how do you mitigate a tackle problem? You get the ball out quicker.
Yeah, well, and I...
And what's Dillon supposed... What's the one thing that I'm supposed to believe that he can do? It's that processing power.
Well,
he even did it against Baltimore in that garbage time touchdown.
Well, last week I asked Joe, with the pressure that the Packers bring, right? I said, hey, does that mean that you've got to really emphasize getting it out quick? And Joe actually, he was good about it, but he basically dismissed my premise and said, yeah, you can't be worrying about that. You just you play their game. You play your game. You don't, you don't get focused on.
Yeah, he's got three other things to worry about.
Right. But when you're going against those teams, that's the great neutralizer. Any coach will tell you that. And we'll talk to Coach Riz coming up here later in the show. But like the way you neutralize an active pass rush or an overly aggressive pass rush is to get the ball out quick.
Mm-hmm. Or run the ball, which I think you can do one of the two things now moving forward.
Right. Now you can. You couldn't do it in the first 2 weeks. Now you can. So I still believe you give them this week, and then you're four games in. And I'm not flip-flopping. I'm being consistent because I said earlier after the Baltimore game, and everyone was ready to make the change then, and I was being asked on every show about switching the quarterback. I said, no, you get through the Detroit game. Have Joe start against Green Bay and Detroit because those are two Super Bowl contenders. Allow him to take the beating if there's a beating to have to be taken. And then if it's as bad then going into London against the Vikings, you use the London trip to make your quarterback change.
I just think if you're already thinking about it, and there was at least one report over the weekend that the Browns had considered the change going into Green Bay. If you've already considered it, I honestly don't know how much a win should change things because...
Kevin's response after the game Sunday was hard to miss.
Yeah, no. And his response yesterday as well was hard
right.
to miss.
Right, and also...
And I think he was talking out somewhere.
Right, well, he's...
I don't believe what he's selling.
I don't know that he believes what he's selling at times, too. Mm-hmm. Just, I brought up with you guys yesterday when he was asked about DeJuan. Hey, what was DeJuan doing well for you? Da, 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 da. And Kevin was really, you could tell, he was trying to say something nice, about him. And he just got hurt and was done for the season. Didn't want to say, well, yeah, long way to go or anything like that.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that they're in a situation right now where they're trying to talk themselves into everything's fine and everything's going to get better offensively.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
With Joe Flacco, and I am not convinced that's ultimately the case.
216-474-0092. Is it unfair to expect Dylan Gabriel to be ready now? Last time I checked, there's no fairness in sports. Like, they're all big boys. They're all professionals. You see what I see, what Daryl, everybody sees what we see here, and I think that's the truth of law. Not necessarily poor widow Dylan Gabriel. Let's think of the little guy right there.
This offense is worse than the 1-31 Browns. Those teams could at least score 20 points in a game.
Curtis Danberg, Guardians VP of Communications, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Curtis Danberg, Guardians VP of Communications, joining us. Hi.
Hi, happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And happy baby news for Jonathan.
We got a lot of life going on the show right now. And it's funny, I'm only a little bitter that they could have scheduled this beautiful baby to be born today. And selfishly, they put it a day before my birthday. I mean, what are we thinking about here, right? If we had been birthday buddies, we would have been best friends for, like, maybe I'd pay for a college. That's not happening. I can't do that for my own kids. But I would think about it. I would think about offering it. And then Vanessa would tell me no. Yeah.
Simple as that.
So, congrats. This is awesome. Like, this stretch of baseball has to be so thrilling for you guys who have lived through the ups and downs of what has been at points a beautiful season and at points what felt like the never-ending season.
Yeah, and I think the peaks and valleys have been probably the most dramatic I've seen in my tenure with the organization. And to see the, you know, you go through the 10 straight losses and then 9 of 10 losses and then now a 10-game winning streak, it's fun to be seen coming out of this. And, hey, who knows how it's going to play out? Hopefully it's going to end, but this is a historical run that we're experiencing right now, and hopefully we can finish it off.
So you just said something that I think is so interesting. Is I've been trying to think of what other season has this kind of, whether it's the stuff with the two pitchers, whether it's just where the offense has been sputtering, and then, I mean, had a month where they were the best offense in baseball, and then the rotation, and then this injury, and then the bullpen, and I honestly couldn't think of a time, and which is wild because we've had so many different types of seasons, but never something that's presented itself like here, where it's like September goes and all of a sudden your team goes and just, I mean, they're on fire, like cannot be beat.
I had that conversation last homestand with Tom Hamilton. He couldn't come up with one. Like, it's been so drastic how the pendulum has swung, but I'm glad it's swinging right now in our favor. Yep. And hey, these six games are huge. You can't ask for much more than this. It's a beautiful night. We're seeing tickets spike in. Hopefully we can get over 30,000. We were at 17,000 just a week ago. So we're seeing a good swing, seeing the support. As voter said on Sunday, we need that fan support. It makes such a big difference on the field.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the fan response. You know, this is the best time. If you're a baseball fan, yes, this is the best week of the year.
These are playoffs.
You're in playoff mode right now. These are playoff games for you guys, and this is all you can ask for as a fan, is you're the last week of the season, your team can still win the division. You're right there. And
you're home.
Yeah, so it's good to hear that you guys are getting positive response from fans, and hopefully the ballpark's packed the next 3 nights.
Yeah, we're keeping our fingers crossed through the weekend, and the Rangers come, and you know they're still in it for the wild card, and so again, it's lined up to be hopefully a great week, but we have to take care of business, and see how things fall out.
I want to know how much is still left in the tank. I mean, all this energy you guys have expended to get to this point, and you know, Detroit, right? I mean, you guys take the series. You basically control your destiny. So that's my number one question: is do they have enough to get to the finish line to get to the postseason?
What has helped this run has been the starting pitching and going to the six man rotation.
Yeah.
Kind of has been a game changer for us. So hopefully we have juice because we've given an extra day here at the end of the season. So we'll see how it play out. On the flip sides, they're moving Scooble up to face us in the first game tonight against Gavin. So
tells you what they think of you.
Well, I think they all, it also tells you they know that they need this one.
Yes.
We were saying that earlier where it's like, I think it's about as much of a must win as it can be for the Guardians without being a must win. Whereas for the Tigers, if Skubal doesn't give you the win, there is no reason you should think that if your ace can't best this team, that the rest of their rotation can best the rest of your rotation.
Yeah, it sets the tone.
Yeah.
Sets the tone for the rest of the week, sets the tone for the series. So big game tonight.
So I am curious. So for me, I'm not a checkout guy when it comes to baseball. That's just not, it's not how my fandom works. You can be 30 games below 500, 30 games above 500, and you're going to be on my TV. That's kind of the way my fandom has always worked. But when it came to thinking about the playoffs, there's difference between the aspirations I had about 17 games ago where I was like, well, they're not out of it. They're sneakily in the wild card picture to really that credible hope that we talk about. Where was the moment where you like really started to like, oh, wait, now not only are we in this, but we are in this. Because for me, it was about of the 17 games, it was probably 10 games in where I just hit that mode of I went from I really love baseball to, oh, my gosh, they might do this.
I think we started the month with having our postseason planning meetings and thinking wild card, but we were kind of just going through the motions. We need to do this. And then the next meeting was like, oh, okay, we're inching closer. And then, you know, as this speeds up, it's like, oh my gosh, like we're not just talking about the wild card, but the division's in our sight. So there is no question that after we swept Detroit last week, it's like, it's on. Especially knowing with them coming into town this week. So
that was the moment for me. When you guys swept the Tigers, I was like, yeah, this is real. Had that not happened, it's like, okay, great run, great way to end the season. Yeah, and beating Skubal. It's like, you know, hey, great run, way to end the season on a positive, really turn what was setting up to be a disappointing year into a, you know, feel good. And now all of a sudden, here you are, you can basically win the division this week. 15 and a half back. This is
historical. Yeah, never been done before.
Amazing Mets. I mean, that's what comes to my mind.
Nobody's been down and won the division being down 15 and a half. In the history.
Where does it, I mean, I know, like, I have stock answers. As somebody who's watched John Hart go to Shapiro, to Antonetti, to Chernetti, as I call them, like, that to me is such a bedrock of what you do. But, like when we start to divvy out how this has been possible, I didn't think you could have a better managerial job for Stephen Vogt than year one. And here we are. Like, I feel like if you win the division and he doesn't win manager of the year, I think something actually is wrong with the way the voting process. Just what is, I guess maybe just kind of give us a little bit of an insight to you about the moments that, whether it's vote or whether it's the team, like, what have you seen as this team has kind of remade itself seven times over this year?
I mean, it's perseverance. But I mean, last year, it was a magical run. Like everything went our way. But for first year manager to have the year we had, and he deserved winning manager of the year. But the trials and tribulations of this season and what we've been through, we don't need to go through everything. But we know that we've had player movement, we've had injuries, we've had the highs and lows, as we talked about. So his leadership at the, you know, keeping it day to day and getting us through this, it's been impressive.
I consider him, or view him, I should say, Curtis, is a young version of Terry Francona. He talks like Tito does. Maybe not as many fun stories because Tito's been, you know, obviously been around longer, but he talks like Tito. He seems to have the pulse of the clubhouse the way Tito did. He doesn't ride the roller coaster when it's so easy. I mean, obviously, we in the media, we ride the roller coaster. It's part of what we do. But his message, his emotions, whether you are losing 10 in a row or have won 10 in a row, he's the same guy every day. And how do you guys do it? I mean, how did you find that he was, because the impression I got is you didn't want to deviate too much from like what Tito had established here, but you wanted to maintain the culture that Tito had established here. So how did you guys come up with Stephen Vogt?
Yeah, and I think you have to ask that question to Chris and Mike and Matt Foreman, who went through that process. And I thought Stephen's, one of his comments was really cool. He's like, I'm not renovating, building onto the house. I'm just maybe, you know, changing the paint colors and rooms and things like that. And because the foundation was there. He's just, you know, built on that and, you know, put his own spin on it. And there's a story that Zach Meisel just wrote, which kind of, you know, goes behind the curtain of, you know, he had to send down Allard early in the year when everything went down with Luis Ortiz. And he talked about, he went in his room and like visibly was emotional for 30 minutes. But that shows who he is as a person and the humility and the leader that he is, of how much that hurt him. It's, kid just pitches, you know, butt off and we have to send him down. But that's baseball. And, yeah. But it shows why the players want to play for him, just like the players wanted to play for Tito.
Curtis Danberg here, Guardians VP of Communications. Still tickets available, ClevelandGuardians.com. If you want to go ahead and pick up some tickets here, again, huge series against Detroit.
One quick thing, if I can add.
Yes.
You have until first pitch tonight, and fees are free for the entire homestand.
Oh, now that is a win. That is so a very big win.
No fees, but you have to make your purchase either for tonight or for any game this homestand by first pitch tonight.
Excellent stuff so, there. So
just to add that.
I will say the one thing I notice, the difference that I see between Tito and Stephen Vogt is, and I think it's been an adjustment for some Guardians fans, is Tito was very, I don't want to say he was conservative with a lot of his moves, but he was a little bit more laid back, whereas I feel like Stephen gets in there, and he's like, I'll do a double substitution in the sixth inning, you know, like, and I actually, what's funny is, I always put that, like, when Guardians fans had criticism, Tito's not active enough, I said, that's a preference, that, like, it, do you manage the clubhouse? Do you win more than you lose? Like, do you do the right things? Does the team respond when you make moves? I will say, being on the other side of it, there are, because I've seen the uptick in criticism of, well, he did this and that. It's like, wait. But do you agree, though? Do you see that difference between the two? Because I love Stephen Vogt's aggressiveness, because that's how I think I would manage if I was a manager, or most fans would want to maybe take that game into your hands.
I think aggressive is a good word to use. And I think we saw that last year with the approach with the bat and taking more gambles early in counts and things like that. And that started with, you know, Stephen's leadership and approach.
Bo Naylor's hitting baseballs again.
Yeah.
That's a slight understatement there.
Yeah.
And I think he made a comment. He's like, and even Stephen says he's put in the work all year. Like he's been trying so hard, and he finally said, hey, I've done the work. Let's just go out there and play. And for some reason that light bulb has popped on, and you know, he's hitting, what does he have, 10 plus RBIs and the last few games. So it's been fun to see.
You guys win the division. Hosey's got to be in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I've seen stories today. I mean, it's all about, you know, the top dogs. I think it's hard for Hosey. He'll be in that third, fourth place as he normally is, but he deserves to be right up there.
So I did want to get your perspective on this and just the idea of, I was thinking about this earlier, like it's funny how Cleveland in general figures out, well, this is our rival and this is our rival. And yet we sit here and like we were talking about Detroit with my buddies, my cabin boys, and I got like two bleep Jim Leland texts where, because it was like they remember this move that Jim Leland made or this thing that Jim said in 2000 and like, no, I think it was 2007 when he said it. And I was like, oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I like that guy as a manager, but screw him. I like, for you guys, we always talk about the rivalries of the Guardians. I think it's the Tigers are the ones that I consider the biggest rival. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I agree. Because especially recent years, and you had that era when we were playing well, Miguel Cabrera would come in here and hit a homer every time to give the Tigers a win. So I'd agree with that.
This feels like the opposite. By the way, I'm so glad you said Miguel Cabrera, because forever you'd be like, why?
Now it's Hosey.
Yeah, exactly.
The Guardians against Detroit are unbelievable.
The whole team.
Yeah.
Is just like, you can tell that they are in some ways in the Tigers' dome. I fought that when our buddy John Fanta said it last week. I just fought it because I was like, we can't say that out loud because it might go somewhere. But he's 100% right. It is. I mean, there is a we're in their dome, which is so nice to be after the way Miguel Cabrera did that for roughly 15 to 16 years.
Well, I feel like your rivals have evolved. Like in the 90s when you guys were just dominating the division, the Royals were always in last place. But Sweeney was always hitting home runs to beat the Indians. Like, it just defied logic. Then it became the Twins. All the beanball brawls between the two teams, and now it seems to have morphed into the Tigers, and we really don't care about Chicago. It doesn't need to morph into Chicago.
Jerry Reinsdorf cares about Chicago, let alone whether we should care. All right, one more time for people. Fee-free. Run it by us one more time.
Yeah, so go to cleguardians.com or the MLB Ballpark app. Purchase tickets for any game, the final six games. You have to do it by 6:40, first pitch tonight, and there are no fees to your purchase. And then another plug for Saturday, Fan Appreciation Night. We've got fireworks, dollar dogs, $2 pregame beers. In the district, it was a way to celebrate the fans and hopefully celebrate a victory that night, too.
I don't just thank you for those delicious dogs that you brought in. I thank you for stopping by. We're so excited for this stretch run. I cannot wait. I'm not going to jinx them. I almost said something. I'm not going to do it. I can't wait for the outcome of tonight's game, which I feel reasonably confident about. And thank you for stopping by, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me. And go Guards.
Go Guards.
See what happens here.
Let's see. Guards ball. All right. Curtis Danberg, Guardians VP of Communications, here in studio with us. We'll react to what Curtis had to say and talk about where Detroit fits in the Cleveland sports rivalry landscape in 5 minutes on 92.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
2-3 The Fan. Somebody in the break asked me on Twitter, and Nick Wilson says, how many hot dogs can you eat? That is a trick question. The answer is all of them. Now, the real question is, how many will I eat? And I would say that I'm practicing self-control, but I think we all know that's a bit of a lie.
Yeah, no. This might be your best birthday ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
free hot dogs, free cupcakes.
And you wanted to take a picture of me eating a hot dog.
Oh, but
there's no clean pictures of that. All right. That goes on at Nick Wilson Does on yes. OnlyFans because that will put money in my pocket. We're not giving that content for free on Twitter.
I will
You're
say
you're going to outfreak this freak. Okay.
I will say the picture I did get of you holding the hot dog, though.
You made me go full De Niro.
Well,
because I told you, I'm not letting you take a picture of me eat a hot dog. Like, here's the thing. Because I was so surprised and very thankful at your cupcake idea, I gave you the I'm going to eat this cupcake. That's more than anyone gets out of me. Because generally, I do not offer, you can take a picture of me. I'm not a rhino at the zoo, all right? I'm a rhino in captivity.
Yeah, but
I'm not a rhino in. I'm a rhino on the free, not in captivity. I got there eventually. Shut up, Mac.
Here's what you forgot. There are already cameras in the studio.
Oh, I know. This whole thing is fugazi.
I'm just going to tell you right now.
This is just a trap to see my fat ass eat.
I'm not going to be upset if Keith Britton finds the video and hits pause at the appropriate time with you having a hot dog in your mouth.
Yeah, what about you? I'll tell you right now.
I was smart enough. I got up and went away from the
right cameras. Over there, friend. Now, these are the cameras we know about with Keith. You just never know. He is Lima might be the slippery wizard. That guy down the hall is pretty slippery as well.
You call him the assassin.
It is. I will tell you. Wear your sexy Guardians merch today. I'm feeling a win, a win over the next couple of days. We'll see where it goes because I'm wearing what is my anniversary present. I actually told Curtis this off the air. Like last year, I took Vanessa to Jamaica for our anniversary. And this year, she's like, well, I got to double up on that. I'm like, just give me the hat that I want with a sexy Guardian on it. Why? Because it's for days like today. I actually might even turn it around so that people can actually see the hat on our YouTube content today.
There you go. I think you owe that to the public so that they could see
that. I can hide more of my face.
Well, see, I'm trying to keep the fat jokes to a minimum today. I'm trying
don't
to
make
keep...
me curse on air. bull something is what I was thinking of responding.
Trying to be nice to you on your birthday.
Also, bull something. Yeah. Don't know what that could finish in, but I can tell you, I don't believe you. Now, something I said to Curtis that I do think is 100% fair. I kind of hate that the Lions aren't in the Browns division simply because the Tigers and Pistons have such great rivalries with the Cleveland sports teams in basketball and baseball.
Yeah.
And you don't have like the basketball equivalent for Pittsburgh. You don't have the basketball equivalent for Baltimore. Cincinnati could be a rival for you if they ever switch into the same division, which I think actually might happen in the near future. But like Detroit would be the perfect rivalry to have, but because you don't have a football rivalry, it takes a fair amount of sting off for people.
You have a little bit of a football rivalry, though. The GLC. How can you forget the Great Lakes Classic?
From the 1957 championship?
No,
didn't the Lions beat the Browns in 1957? It's like one of Paul Brown's rare losses.
Yeah. I'm talking from the Carmen Policy / John Collins era. Remember they came up with the big barge and all that?
Oh, no, yeah. I know. I was just not acknowledging it. And by the way, I was right on that. Senior research Mac Robinson, let me know that was fair. Yeah?
59-14, Detroit won.
Mm, and I've never gotten over it, quite frankly.
Yes, because you were there sitting in the front row.
No, I was there metaphysically. Metaphysically. However.
In spirit.
Like, so it's funny. I was not kidding. Like, my cabin boys were like, man, bleep Jim Leland. And then it like brought me back to Miguel Cabrera and Dontrell Willis, who was by and large not good in Detroit, except when he pitched against Cleveland. So like there is a part of me that's like, if we go past the Pittsburgh Steelers rivalry, if we go past the Baltimore Ravens rivalry, the next best rivalry you have in sports, I think has to be Cleveland versus Detroit in baseball. And honestly, Cleveland versus Detroit in basketball, where not only did you have the LeBron Detroit teams,
2007,
you
also had conference finals.
You also had the late 80s Pistons, the Bad Boys, versus that version of the Cavaliers, the toughest team in basketball, cheapest team in basketball, versus the team that people doubted their toughness.
I agree with you wholeheartedly about the Cleveland-Detroit thing. And if the NFL ever gets into a realignment situation, and you'd have the Browns and Lions on a regular basis.
Would you swap out the Lions for Bengals?
Yes.
Oh, that's weird, because I don't know. I don't know that I could give up any of the rivalries that we have for the Browns, because geographically, the one that would go is Baltimore.
Right. And
although maybe that'd be nice if we could just let that one go. Maybe I'd finally get over the Baltimore thing if I just didn't have to watch them kick your ass twice a year.
Geographically, it would make sense if Baltimore went into another division and Detroit came into the Browns division, where you have Detroit, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
That would be perfect. The AL Central, when that was all put together in the mid-1990s there, when they were the Indians, they agreed to leave the AL East. And that was like the best decision Richard Jacobs made as team owner, was agreeing to do that, because that allowed them to basically be a consistent winner within this division with Chicago, Kansas City, Minnesota, and Detroit. It's such a natural fit. Mm-hmm. For them.
It's also the one that I wouldn't get rid of in the next round of realignment.
And it's a 2-hour drive. So we've seen it. We've seen Tiger fans come here, or Detroit fans and all come here and do takeovers. And we've seen Cleveland fans go up to Detroit do Cleveland takeovers.
Well, like, I really do think that when baseball expands within the next 3 or 4 years, which it's going to happen, it's just when is it going to happen and where do the teams go? I think that the only way I'm truly interested in realignment is if it's radical. And to me, the perfect baseball division is that you have two teams from the AL Central and you have two teams from the NL Central. It is the Tigers, it's the Guardians, it's the Reds, and it's the Pirates.
That's exactly where I was going with that, too.
So basically, the longest drive for anyone is going to be Detroit from probably Cincinnati, but everything's drivable, and I think, like, listen, there's no offense to Minnesota. You've had some stretches when, you know, the Torrey Hunter teams and Jock Jones and all those guys, it's been pretty much one off. Like, yes, you've had some rivalry. It's hard for Guardians fans to have that rivalry considering the travel time. Same thing with Kansas City. I mean, even Chicago, is more of a drive than Guardians fans going to Cincinnati, which is going to be the toughest right. and longest drive you have.
Yeah. I would like to see baseball get it right and do it that way, but I have zero confidence in their ability to do so, especially with this commissioner.
I don't know. This commissioner has kind of been on fire with some of the changes he's made. He was absolutely an awful commissioner. Like the first,
by the way,
first
you know
15
the new one today, right? There not more changes coming next year. That challenge system, ball strike, umpiring system that mm-hmm. we've seen in spring training, we've seen in the minor leagues. That's going to come into play next season. Jeff Passan reported today that pitcher, catcher, batter will be you get two challenges per game on the balls and strikes. I think that potentially could, grow. Because I loved to sit watching it in spring training, the way that system operated. It was fantastic.
It still won't be perfect, but yes, it's going to help us upset the apple cart for umpires who are drunk on power. 216-474-0092. Where does Detroit fit in the Cleveland sports rivalry landscape? Obviously, the NFL rivalries take precedent because of how long they've been around. I think Detroit with the Tigers and Pistons are right behind it. And we've got Jim Kostov, 97-1, the ticket in Detroit. We'll ask him about that rivalry. We'll ask him also about the Tigers slide and how they're viewing this Lions game in Detroit in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.